Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for January the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. And yes, my fellow Americans, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, quickly, we got a whole topic to discuss today with two guests. But before we get to the topic at hand, I want to ask both guests quickly. So Kurt's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And Stuart Rhodes, president of Oath Keepers, with us. Welcome, Stuart.
Morning, Sam.
And Richard Mack, former sheriff of Grand County, Arizona, leader of or president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, with us as well. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Sam. Stuart, good to be with you. Kurt, good morning, everybody.
Likewise.
All right, so first headline, and it's not what we really agreed to talk about, but it just news that just broke, so I got to mention it. Roger Stone, indicted, arrested. Do you want to respond to that first?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, Stuart.
Stuart first.
No, Stuart. Well, from what I know, he's just it's the same kind of thing they've done to other people. Is no actual crime, except supposedly misleading them during the investigation, which could be, you know, just a bunch of nonsense they throw up to target somebody.
Sheriff?
Well, the thing that strikes me the most is that they are going after him for lying. I really wish that they would simply go after FBI agents for lying, for all the politicians for lying, and, you know, that they think they're so offended because somebody has lied to them after the thousands of lies that they have told. I mean, we could go back to Waco and Randy Weaver and others, but we even recently, I mean, every scandal and every problem that the FBI has, they lie their ways out of it, and that they're supposed to be so offended that somebody lied to them. This is just ridiculous, and Roger Stone is not a criminal. And this is just more of the intimidation and coercive tactics that our federal government uses, and nobody ever does anything about it.
Kurt's got some intel on this that's very fascinating as well, Kurt.
Well, you're talking about the headlines from Drudge on this. Today it's big-time headlines on this, and they say, Stone indicted, charged on 7 counts in Mueller probe, obstruction of justice, false statements, witness tampering. Read it. CNN airs footage of arrest, tipped off, claims gut instinct, dramatic 6 a.m. raid in Florida, agents with guns drawn, court appearance today, Nixon godfather threat on dog, Trump campaign official directed to ask about WikiDirt. Well done. Then it says Bannon, ? Anyway, bottom line is, it's just, like you said, hoopla about, you know, got to look over here instead of look over there, right?
Sam? Well, and CNN producer admits that he was waiting outside Roger Stone's house an hour before the raid happened. And Greta Van Sestren basically says, or suggests, FBI tipped off CNN before raiding Roger Stone. What do you think about that, Sheriff?
Well, that one doesn't concern me too much as much as some of the others, but, I mean, staking him out, waiting to arrest him, I mean, that's just their aggrandizing of a simple case. I'm surprised they didn't use a SWAT team and raid, you know, shut down the entire neighborhood, because they just don't have enough to do already. You would think.
But this idea that certain media gets the special privilege ahead of time, tip off, scoop on the story stuff?
I mean, they'll go to their media for the support. And, you know, I mean, they're all in the same bed. So I mean, that certainly doesn't surprise me, and it doesn't worry me, and it doesn't surprise me.
I think Fox needs to sue over it. What do you say, Stuart?
Yeah.
Sue with not having equal access? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can't just be the police and just giving special media special privilege heads up on this stuff.
This is the deep state. As Sheriff Mack said, they're all in the bed together. It's the deep state, and it cuts across all the different institutions they've taken over.
And you're right about that.
Basically, Mueller is basically the Attorney General of the United States now. It's as though Hillary won. This is her AG. And I have to wonder, where's the Trump administration? Why aren't they aggressively prosecuting the deep state functionaries for all their crimes? Instead, they're sitting back and doing nothing. Well, this basically stand-in AG runs around, acts as though Hillary had won. That's what's happening now in this country.
Well, the question is Donald really that MIA and that clueless and that or whatever? Or is he controlled by the deep state or what?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. But what I know is what's not happening. You know, look at all the sanctuary cities and sanctuary states that are just thumbing their nose at the clear federal law. And yet there's not one single indictment. Show me one indictment anywhere in the country.
Well, the only indictments happening are Roger Stone, and now they're trying to reconvict Ammon Bundy and stuff like that, right?
That's my point. Is they're carrying on as though Trump doesn't exist, as though his AG doesn't exist, which is
Steve Stockman goes to jail, Hillary runs around free, you know, that kind of stuff.
Precisely, yeah.
What do we do, Sheriff?
He's turning into a joke.
Well, I really appreciate Stuart's analysis of that and the perspective that he's put it in. It's absolutely correct. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, what would have been the difference if we had elected Hillary Clinton?
Wow. All right, let's get the truth on the border, because that's kind of the hot topic that's supposedly created the stalemate. I think the stalemate's a bunch of political theater. Personally, I think Donald could deal with the wall if he wanted to without congressional approval. So the battle rages on. First off, let's just get kind of an update. Last time we had Stuart on for a two-hour extended episode, he talked about, hey, do you want the truth of what's actually happening on the border? Drug cartels control both sides of the border. And the border states of America, sadly, are in an American civil war. It's tragic, but all true. Give us an update since, Stuart.
Well, like you said, President Trump has the authority, he has actually the duty to use the U.S. military to stop what is a military invasion. The cartels are international terrorist organizations, and they're also fourth-generation warfare, unconventional warfare, military enemies of the United States. They're occupying American territory. They're taking over this country along the southern border, just like they did in Mexico. They own northern Mexico, and now they own South Texas and southern Arizona. There's places you can't go. And there's local politicians in their back pocket, local police chiefs and sheriffs. It's the same thing they do in Mexico. And that's terrorism. When you use violence with threat of violence to control political behavior of a population, that's what terrorism is under current federal law. So Trump should declare that. By not doing that, and instead making it only about crime, and of course he's pointing out some serious issues, but he's not putting it in military context like he should. And that's going to leave him very vulnerable when he does, if he does, declare an emergency. It'll be challenged in court, and once he makes it a military necessity and a military operation, he'll be weak.
The other problem that I see with it is he's not highlighting even the points that he's making about crime and the concerns. He's not highlighting them in a way that can be conveyed to the American people. The mainstream press just minimizes and manipulates what he says, and it's kind of just a woman's going to get the better of the Donald kind of an idea. Nancy kind of beat Donald in his own game and forced Donald to blink is kind of their story. The way I look at this, what we need to do is, hey, if we're not going to have a State of the Union in the House, why don't we have a State of the Union live from the border, Stuart?
Good question. Good point. But he also should not have made it by the shutdown. He should have had this confrontation with the Republicans when they controlled the House 2 years ago or last year. You know, that's the problem. He waited until the Dems controlled the House, and now it's all about the shutdown, which a lot of Americans don't support, even though they don't understand, you know, what's really happening. But he should divorce the whole situation from the shutdown and just made it about the military necessity and use the military anyway. So it's a mistake he made. And now when he goes to the courts, when they challenge him, they'll say, look, he is circumventing the normal legislative procedure because he tried to get it through the legislative process, couldn't do it. Now he's legislating by fiat, by executive order. He'll be in a very weak position.
So there's a lot of ways to deal with this, but I think what Donald needs to do is take a step back and reset the narrative. And the way you do that is you go live at the border and you show what a national security threat we really have. You speak to folks who have done reconnaissance on the border, Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers doing a great job. And you get a handle on really what's happening. The fact is the drug cartels control both sides of the border. And you highlight this national security concern and then declare a national emergency in your State of the Union on the border live. Now, here's what's interesting. Rand Paul said, well, if Donald's not going to be able to speak to the House because of Nancy, why doesn't he come to the Senate and speak? Sean Hannity came out and said, hey, I'll offer to host Donald Trump on my radio program. We'll do an extended version, and it can be the equivalent of the State of the Union. Others are saying, well, what he needs is a Texas rally to speak directly to the people. I think all those are decent ideas, but I think the best idea is the one that I've had, which is why not go down to the border and broadcast live? Why don't you just show people? You could do visual air. You could get a GoPro camera or whatever and do air visual on both sides of the borders. You could talk to some of the Mexican people, to the drug cartels, to the gangs, to the Border Patrol agents. And you could do a real truth-telling tale about, hey, there's criminal activity and drug cartels control the border. And you could really bring Americans up to speed and circumvent this shenanigan by Nancy in about 5 seconds if you really wanted to. But it would take going live at the border. It would take the new media taking center stage to be part of it, to hold the mainstream press accountable. And then we would force the mainstream to admit what's really going on. And Donald could reset the narrative, declare terrorism questions and charges and concerns, and he could literally declare a state of emergency and stop these shenanigans and get movement on this immediately and demand the government be opened. Stuart Rhodes and Richard Mack will respond to these ideas in just a second. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, let's go to Richard Mack first. What do you think of all these ideas here? I think going to the border and having a reality check and declaring a national emergency is the only honest way forward, Sheriff.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. I think that's a brilliant idea. I think Trump needs to stop staying in the box, in the swamp box that he wanted to drain. If you're going to drain the swamp, you need to quit picking people that are swamp dwellers to be in your cabinet. If you really want to drain the swamp, you need to get out of the habit of swamp dwelling, of swamp ideas, and you've got to stop allowing the media that he detests and the Democrats to control the narrative. he seems just to be chasing. I mean, he takes a real strong stand afterwards, but he still continues to chase after their narrative, and he is really just reactionary to their narrative. He needs to step up and lead the way out of their narrative and out of the swamp and get rid of people who are swamp dwellers. He keeps getting rid of people, but he keeps replacing them with swamp dwellers, as his new pick for attorney general is. He just goes from one swamp dweller to another. And he really needs to step out. And he could actually pick some swamp dwellers if he made sure that they were going to stick with his agenda. But he continues to allow them to control the narrative, and he just chases after them and being a reactionary president instead of really revamping the FBI, cutting back the FBI, cutting back the FDA, and making all the cuts that he said he was going to do to the Department of Education and so on and so forth. We talked about this.
And let's be very clear. We're not here to attack President Trump, but we are here to assess things as we see it. And hopefully Trump and those who really care about President Trump can surround him and help him understand what's going on and how he's being undermined at every turn.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not attacking him either. I just wish he would take some of our advice, but because we're not swamp dwellers, he keeps taking advice from swamp dwellers.
Hashtag listen to friends of Trump, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he needs to pardon people who shouldn't be in prison, obviously, get the innocents in prison out of there. The rest of this is, to me, even Rand Paul's, I would like to take Rand Paul's commercial that you play every hour. It's a great commercial, but I'd like to say, paraphrase it and change it from, which I totally support him on pro-life. We're all pro-life on this program, and I totally support that. But on Plan B, I would like to just take his words and put in innocence in prison.
Amen. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
We are conceived in liberty, but we don't provide liberty for an Amish farmer or for people who have committed offenses against bureaucrats in this country.
Stuart Rhodes, what do you think of a Max assessment and my idea to go to the border live and really be truth tellers? And there's no other way you're going to stop these fake news battles and this reality TV kind of whatever games. You got to make it a national security issue. You got to document the crisis in a way that's beyond debate. And the only way to do that is to really go live at the border.
I agree. Like you said, he should be down there and using that opportunity to show footage, to interview. I mean, he had a video up online of him talking to some Border Patrol agents who discussed how they had found, you know, people from Pakistan crossing the border, how they've actually detained some people who were terrorist suspects. That's what he needs to do. Put them right on camera and make it the State of the Union. I agree completely. But like Sheriff Mack said, the problem is he's continuing. I disagree. He shouldn't have anybody the deep state person whatsoever, any kind of swamp driller. I mean, look at his new pick for AG. The guy's a disaster. You know, he's a leftover from the first Bush administration, from Bush Sr., and he was in favor of magazine capacity bans, assault weapons bans, background checks, and absolutely everything. He comes out in favor of red flag laws. I don't understand what is going on in Trump's head. Why can't he pick someone like Judge Napolitano or Evan Vieira? You know, he could pick a constitutionalist. It'd be easy to do, but he refuses to listen to anybody outside the box, like you were saying. And he only turns to people who are basically neocon handlers. They're doing the same thing to him they did to Reagan. They're going to contain him and run the clock out. And when he's gone, they're going to laugh.
Now, Stuart, you and your team at oathkeepers.org have done some incredible reconnaissance on the border. And you've reported on this program and in previous broadcasts about it and stuff like that. Is there any way for you to sit down with President Trump and catch him up to speed? Because it doesn't seem like anybody else has done the reconnaissance and or has the ability to catch him up to speed to the ability that you guys can, right?
Well, the best person that's already talked to him is Jim Chilton, Chilton's ranch in Arizona. So he does know what's happening now, at least as far as what's going on in the Arizona voter there. He's talked to Jim Chilton. There's no way I can get to Trump. There's no freaking way. You know,
you're saying the rancher Jim Schultz has been able to speak with Trump?
Yes, he was at a conference of landowners in Louisiana, and Trump shared the stage with him and talked to him. And also, I heard that he was shown video footage of the drug trafficking mules going across the Chilton Ranch in Arizona.
And so what, now that Donald's up to speed, then is it going to convey that to the to force the media to come aboard? I mean, we can use this program. I know it might be small, but hey, us and the 50 other new Patriot Radio folks and whatever, hey, we could force the mainstream press to cover the narrative of the truth if Donald will help us.
Well, I think what has to happen is, like you said, we should be encouraging him to go to the border, make the address from there, declare the emergency, and deploy the troops. So that's what we should be doing right now, is just burning up his phone lines and his Twitter feed about that idea.
Because listen to this headline to kind of make the point. Let me see if I can find this. But they basically say 10,000 plus illegals are headed to the United States right now. Do you want to respond to that?
10,000 cross every week. That's nothing. Those caravans are a distraction.
Right, but here's the point. That's their headline, though. That they're acting like that's the big deal.
Well, sure. It's a distraction. It's meant to distract.
But without that, Sam, you don't even get any vegetables. I mean, you've got to have people like that coming, or else no vegetables in your grocery store. You know, I mean, it's just, it's the price you pay.
Now, here's what's interesting. I agree with Stuart that that's nothing. 10,000 deal with the border all the time. But here's the headline, and the reason that I bring this up. 10,000 plus migrants hit Mexico and request asylum as caravans rage. Okay, wait a minute. So if we got 10,000 requesting asylum, how many aren't requesting asylum? They just want to breach the border, Stuart.
Well, that's the problem. Because of the interpretations of our asylum laws by the courts, all they have to do is set foot in the United States and they're automatically processed. If they're not Mexicans, if they're OTMs, they're automatically processed for asylum, given a court date, and set loose. They'll be given a bus ride to the local bus station.
What are we going to do? It seems like it's almost gotten worse under President Trump, not better.
Well, it has, but that's by design by the globalists. I mean, the globalists are doing the same thing. To be fair to him, they're doing the same thing to the United States that's being done to Europe. The problem and the frustration I feel is he has not taken the steps he needs to take to be proactive. As Sheriff Mack said, he could be aggressive, he could be proactive, and stop this through his authority as the commander-in-chief, but he's refusing to do so far.
And we need to change the language, too, when they say 10,000 migrants. What they're really talking about is 10,000 illegals hit Mexico and request asylum as caravans rage. I mean, it's really illegals we're talking about here, because they're not doing it in a legal, honorable way at all. And Mexico's mad about this, too. Maybe not the Mexican government, because El Chapo's paid these people, you know, big old bribes and stuff like that. But the Mexican people are sick of this too, right?
Well, sure. But the problem is they don't run their own country. The cartels do. Mexico is a failed narco state. That's what it is. And so we need to recognize that. It's a direct parallel to what happened back in 1916 when Pancho Villa was the de facto ruler of northern Mexico. Mexican government at the time did not control it. President Wilson sent Blackjack Pershing and the U.S. Army into Mexico to go chase down Pancho Villa. It's a direct parallel. It's
all right.
Worse, though.
Let's talk about El Chapo, Kurt.
Well, El Chapo is on trial, and, you know, he seems to have friends in, well, I was going to say
high places.
But, you know, and he's got money to pass around, whether it's the $100 million bribe to the former Mexican president, Nieto Peña, or maybe even more presidents. What I want to know is, do you think any of that drug money connects right into, you know, like Nancy Pelosi and, you know, et cetera?
Stuart?
Yeah, the CIA has been the largest drug runner in the entire world for decades. So, yeah, of course. I mean, the deep state is the major cartel, the world cartel. The Mexican cartels are dysfunctionaries. You guys know that, right?
Of course. Absolutely. It's you know, we used to call it the shadow government, shadows of power. Now it's the deep state term, but we've been watching this for a long time. And, well, let's come back. We'll have Richard Mack respond, and also Kurt wants to talk about making El Chapo pay for the wall. Ted Cruz has an idea. You think there's any validity there? We'll talk about it. Sam, Kurt, Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org, and Richard Mack with us.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org with us. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about El Chapo paying for the wall? Ted Cruz proposed that idea. They could do asset forfeiture on the criminal, and he's got plenty of cash, and he could build the wall, and then literally Donald would be right. The Mexicans would build the wall. What do you say to that, Sheriff?
Well, that's exactly what I put in the last newsletter. So, yeah, that should already be happening, and Trump should be touting that. And again, that's back to my complaint about Trump, is he's not using some of this creativity to support his assertion that Mexico would pay for the wall.
And I haven't seen a word about this, but Ted Cruz kind of brought it up and is focused on it, put a bill in place to kind of work on it. What do you say, Stuart?
Yeah, sure, but it's never going to go anywhere. It's a good idea, but look at what's happening right now. I mean, the Congress and the Senate, you had six Republicans vote for the Democratic plan yesterday. So, you know,
my new senator, one of Richard Mack's favorite folks, voted yes to the Democrat plan, too.
Well, he voted for both.
Yeah, he voted for both. That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, look, guys, it's stacked against us. We got lucky and got a maverick in there, but the maverick needs to step up and man up and do something. And so far, he has, as you were both pointing out, he has been reactive. He has let them control the narrative. He's been pretty much led by the nose by his handlers to do nothing. I mean, you know, so yeah, he's done the face off over the shutdown, but he's not doing what's really necessary. $5.7 billion, if they gave it to him, would not secure the border. You got to have boots on the ground to secure any barrier. and that would only get you maybe 150 miles with a wall.
And as you wisely pointed out, not only do you got to have boots on the ground, but you got to have people control the air, right?
Absolutely. We need to have a layered system of defense. And you have QRFs by helicopter. Basically, you need the U.S. military. That's the bottom line. It would take at least four times as many Border Patrol down there as there are right now. The other day in Yuma, when all the mass, you know, pile of the illegals crossed over, there were only three Border Patrol for 27 miles of barrier. So the barrier that's there right now is not being patrolled effectively. What's the point of a new barrier if you don't have the men to patrol it? It's going to take the U.S. military.
So this is a great distraction. Any more on this, Kurt, about make El Chapo pay for the wall? Any other details on this one?
Well, you know, it's called the El Chapo Act, and they've actually got little words, letters that, you know, go with each part of that. You can see why we wouldn't really want to stop. I mean, with the drug war going on for all these years, why we wouldn't want to stop somebody like El Chapo, because then you couldn't keep having the drug war, right?
It's a good point. All right. Well, to some degree, all this is distraction, because there's things going on in America that are just as critical. For example, you got this William Barr guy hanging out with the Donald now, and this guy not only doubled down, as Stuart pointed out, that he wants to back some of these red flag laws, but he also wants to back greater background checks. He says it's one of the single most important things we can do to move the needle on the violation of the right to keep and bear arms, basically, is the bottom line. And the Democrats are going to go for broke on this one. And Donald seems to be willing to consider their ideas, Stuart.
What's the problem is that Trump himself has come out in favor, and his administration has come out in favor of the red flag laws. Call them what they are. As GOA said, the gun confiscation laws, that's what they are. They allow anyone, in many of the states, anyone to complain in secret in an ex parte hearing, a secret trial from a judge about you, and you won't even know what's happening. You can't confront your accusers, can't present evidence on your behalf. There's no presumption of innocence. There's no proof beyond a reasonable doubt. None of the things that go with the jury trial. And the first thing you know about it is when the cops are at your door. And you've already had one death. A man in Maryland was killed because the police came to his door after he had an argument with his adult sister, who doesn't even live with him. She called the cops and complained. They came to his door, and he wound up in a gunfight with the cops and was killed. So that's going to be, you know, it's going to expose every single gun owner in this country to the same kind of thing. So Barr is a complete disaster, and we can't be silent. From what I can see, the NRA has been silent on this, and many Republicans don't want to criticize Trump, because they feel like, you know, we have a duty to not criticize the president. I think that's ridiculous. We have a duty to call him out when he's violating the Constitution, period.
AG nominee William Barr praising red flag gun seizures. They first talk about, you know, this background checks or these red flag laws, but what we're really talking about is regulation. Not only regulation, but registration. And then regulation and registration leads to what? Complete confiscation. Sheriff, you want to respond to this?
Well, I've been very critical of background checks and all of those, primarily because they're unlawful. The second argument is, do they make us safer? Well, if we can just look at history, since background checks have started, crime never decreased anywhere. And then, of course, if you look at the statistics of Washington, D.C., and how it was the leading murder capital of the world because of its strict gun control laws, and Chicago now has taken its place, and they kill more people there than we kill in Afghanistan and any other war that we're in, wars that we should not be in. And so it's gotten ridiculous that people have been so brainwashed in this country that we will bow down and submit ourselves and become subjects to an out-of-control federal government that keeps promising us safety because of gun control measures and background checks and waiting periods, when they've proven to be just the opposite. And we continue to ignore where any authorization for such laws comes from. They certainly do not come from the Constitution.
It seems to me that, not counting Rand Paul and stuff, I don't think we have an outspoken defender of our Second Amendment anywhere on the national stage to speak of. The NRA caves left and right. You might have the Gun Owners of America group a little bit, but they don't get near the coverage they deserve. And you might have a Rand Paul speak out from time to time. But is there an advocate for our God-given, unalienable rights of self-defense on the national stage that can get any coverage hardly? I don't hardly see one, Stuart.
Well, and this is the problem, is that the Republican Party is, like, look at Cruz. Ted Cruz himself has put out a red flag bill. Rubio from Florida put out a red flag bill. So you've got Republicans who are in favor of this. And like I said, you've already got the president being in favor of it. So unless they put a shot across his bow that this is the third rail you can't touch, then you're going to get red. You're going to get a red flag promoting AG, and you're going to get red flag laws sponsored by Republicans. They're going to pass both houses with overwhelming support, and you're going to have it. It's going to be the Lautenberg Amendment.
And they're going to pitch this as government working again, aren't they?
Yes, of course. This is bipartisan. That's when you know you're really being raped, is when they call it bipartisan. That's when the Constitution Bill of Rights is being raped. Because, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Like I said, it is confiscation. It doesn't lead to confiscation. It's a confiscation bill. DOA is correct. Every single gun owner, when you go to bed at night, you will not know if tonight's your night to have the SWAT team come through your front door, because you will have no idea it's been happening. It could be going on for 3 or 4 days, a hearing about you that you're not aware of until they come through your front door.
What do you say, Kurt, about this one? I guess some people are coming to Jesus, though, Kurt.
Yeah, good point, Sam. You know, it's, wow. I loved what, Stuart said on it, but this come to Jesus story, headline reads, "Coming to Jesus, Armed Virginia Senate OKs Guns in Churches." Virginians could legally bring their guns to church under a bill that cleared the state Senate this week and sparked an emotional debate over whether packing heat in a house of worship constitutes a snub to the
come
Almighty.
To Jesus armed is the idea. Now, here's my problem with it all. I get that people should be able to defend themselves wherever they are, church or wherever, but to me, we're talking about constitutional carry here. What they do, though, when Virginia says we're allowing you to take a gun to church, they're turning a right, a God-given, unalienable right, into a privilege, Stuart.
Well, how's that? What do you mean?
Well, if Virginia says you have a right to have a gun in church, they can say you have the right not to have a gun if they so later choose. Whereas I say you have a right to carry wherever you want to, a constitutional God-given right, and it isn't subject to whether Virginia agrees or not.
Well, was there a prior statute in Virginia that prohibited guns and
trucks? Well, yes, and so that's why I say okay. It's good. So what I mean is it's good to some degree, but it suggests that it's a privilege, not necessarily a right by nature, right?
Well, they could just be recognizing it. You could say, look, because there is this right, they should make it part of the Constitution. They say you cannot prohibit the right of the people to keep and bear arms, period, all over the entire state.
Yeah, and I don't have the law in front of us. It says that they say that it's okay. I don't know what that means in terms of legal terms, but there you go.
Right. This Washington Post piece says the bill repeals a law that thought to date to colonial times, which makes it a misdemeanor to carry any gun, pistol, Bowie knife, dagger, or other dangerous weapon without good and sufficient reason to a place of worship during religious services.
Well, I always have a good and sufficient reason for crying out loud. It's called self-defense, baby. Called Thou Shalt Not Kill. That's why I bring my Kill Me Not to church. All right, the good sheriff with us, Sheriff Richard Mack, will give a chance to chime in on this in seconds. And Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org with us, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. And when we come back, let's finish this topic, and then I want to talk about these Catholic kids in school. They've been absolutely abused in the press, folks. Wow.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Lot to cover, so little time. Sheriff, what do you say to that? I guess they're repealing a law, which is good, but I just find that interesting how they think they can turn rights into privileges at a whim.
Well, that's what they've been trying to do, and that's why I said, you know, where's the constitutional authorization for any of these laws? And it just all of Congress's all is, has become is partisan crap and a continuous perversion of the Constitution and usurpation after usurpation after usurpation. There's never a time in Washington, D.C. that you hear a Democrat or Republican, both parties having a monopoly over our government for the last several decades, maybe six, seven, eight decades at least, and who ever say, I cannot support this because it's not constitutionally authorized, or I'm doing this because it's our constitutional obligation. I'm not supporting this law, even though it's a good idea, but I can't support it because we are not constitutionally authorized to do this. You never hear that because it's all been reduced to who has a good idea. And that just becomes the whims of our tyrants in Washington, D.C., and all of it is just one big capricious, whimsical political nightmare.
I hate those capricious, unwhimsical political nightmares. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. All right. Crazy stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to this Catholic story, though, one quick headline from Ann Coulter that I find fascinating on the border. Ann Coulter says, break
we
ground.
We voted for Trump and we got Jeb.
She says, break ground, not promises. What do you say to that, Sheriff?
Yeah, no kidding. She said, we voted for Trump and we got Jeb. I thought that was a great line.
Sadly, I think Trump's still a lot better than Jeb. I'll still have to admit that. But I am saying I get her point, though. Yeah. What do you say, Stuart?
Well, she's right. I mean, she called him out 2 weeks ago where she said that unless he builds the wall, he will be a joke. And she's right. He's betrayed his promise to the American people. He needs to build it. And frankly, by compromising and going down from $6 billion to $20 billion down to $5.7 billion, he's already failed. That will not secure the border. It won't provide the troops. It won't provide the actual barrier along the entire border. The only way for him to do this right is to call up the military. And just this morning, we emailed out a call to action for people to call Trump and hit his Twitter and bombard him with the call to declare the cartels to be military enemies of the United States, be international terrorist organizations, make this a military matter, and call the military out and put them on the border. That's the only answer.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Spoken from someone who's done reconnaissance on the border for days at a time, who literally has a handle on it. I wish we could get him to meet with President Trump, but for some reason, you know, the guy trying to mow Donald's lawn at the White House, he can get a hold of Trump. You know, Ted Cruz can hang out with Donald. You know, all the ne'er-do-well. I mean, even Nancy could sit down with Donald in a heartbeat, right? But good, honest Americans can't seem to get to the Donald. I don't know what's up with that, but I see a problem with it. Now, you would say, well, Sam, President Trump can't meet with everybody. I get it. But what about meeting with, say, a nationally syndicated talk show host such as myself, a new media personality, that's willing to be fair to him. I mean, I'm the one creating a hashtag called Friends of Trump, right? Okay. And then mixed with Richard Mack, that was the guy that beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, the only person to do so over a non-sexual matter. In fact, it was over our right to keep and bear arms that was at stake. And Richard Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. And then Stuart Rhodes, the man that literally leads oathkeepers.org and has done reconnaissance at the border. You would think Donald could sit down with the three of us. I get that he can't sit down with everybody in the country. There's 300 plus million of us, probably 30 million illegals on the mix. So he can't sit down with everybody. But you would think that the three of us he could sit down with, wouldn't you, Stuart?
Can hope, but it's just it's not going to happen. You know, he's so corralled. And also, you know, look what he does. He'll react like the students from Covington Catholic Church will be sitting down with him. He'll react to big media stories, which is great, but he doesn't seek out, he should be seeking out someone like Edwin Vieira for his AG, for example. You know, someone who's cut their teeth and shown their worth of being a constitutionalist. They're not hard to find. What about Joseph Politano? Another good choice. But yet he won't use them as advisors. Instead, he only reacts to big media stories and has sit downs with Kanye West, you know, the rapper, people like that, who then later on backed up. And
so when Kim comes to the White House, it's like, come on in, baby, take your coat off. Stuart Rhodes and Richard Mack want to sit down with the president and talk, there ain't no turkey, is there?
Right. Well, you got to have big media. It's all about the big media stuff. So the big media controls the narrative, and that's who gets to see them, you know?
I thought the big media was the enemy of the Donald Trump because sue them for libel and slander and such.
Right, but he only reacts to people that have traction. That's just the way it goes. That's just politics for you.
All right. You want to respond to that, Sheriff? Then we'll move on to this Catholic kid story.
Well, let's go on to the Catholic kid story, because all I can say to Stuart and what you were saying is absolute huge amen.
And it's sad to say, and Kurt, do you want to chime in on this too? I don't mean to attack President Trump. The reason I'm speaking like this is I'm hoping President Trump will go, you know what? Good point, guys. Let's sit down. Maybe we could have a milk summit with Richard Mack. We could drink illegal milk and stuff like that, and the Rose Garden with the Donald. And wouldn't that be tremendous? And we could talk about the border and real solutions and surrounding the Donald with constitutionalists. And you know what? How much time does he have left? 2 years? We could make the next 2 years the real 2 years promised from the beginning. And that's why I bring it up. It's not to attack President Trump. I want to promote hashtags Friends of Trump. But I want Trump to listen to his friends, not the deep swamp, deep state enemies that besiege and literally hold him hostage at every single turn. All right. Any comments on this, Kurt?
Don't know what else to say, except it sure would be nice that, you know, I mean, we can always hope that the president could come to his senses when he was given that inauguration speech and we were right there listening to it when he said, hey, it's not a day for basically a new president. It's a day that the country's turned back over to the people. You know, and I'm paraphrasing, but man, I sure, maybe that's one of those quotes we ought to use quite often, Sam, to help remind him of what he said.
Amen to that.
He should be doing.
All right, let's move to these male students from Covington Catholic High School. I believe this was a setup from the ne'er-do-well left. You had these Catholic children going to the pro-life March for Life rallies literally year after year. They've been peaceful. They've been kind. They've been respectful. And they've done it for years. And they ran into, in my opinion, a false flag engineered event, Stuart.
Well, certainly they ran into a leftist agitator in the form of the Native American Marine Corps veteran, who was not a Vietnam veteran, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, he waded into their midst, and I believe he was there to agitate them. He's done it before.
Yes, but the other thing is there were black agitators that were agitating them that before this guy claimed he stepped in the middle to help. So you got the Antifa in bed with this, quote, Native American agitator, and somehow I'm convinced this was engineered. They started it all, and then the mainstream press all jumped that these Catholic kids were mocking the Native Americans. It all turned out to be a big co-opted lie. And for it to happen by the black agitators in the beginning and then a Native American well-known former agitator doing this, and then the media jumping all aboard, it seems to me that it was all engineered.
Well, it might have been, but whether it was or not, the outcome is still the same. They're actually, what they're really doing is saying these kids committed two things. One, face crime. You know, their facial expression was inappropriately deferring. And second, hat crime. it was the MAGA hats on their head, the left hates, and the fact that kids were there for a pro-life march. That's what they've been indicted and found guilty for and sentenced to death. That's really the real story here.
Sheriff, you want to respond to this one?
No, I don't really need to add anything to that. I think that's plain, and it's the simplicity of what's going on. And I really love the composure of that one kid staring the Native American gentleman in the face the whole time. I thought that was classic.
Yes, but Kurt, as far as I understand, they were literally, even after on Twitter and stuff like that, promoting that they wanted to beat his face in, weren't they, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and the one thing, at least the bright part about the story that I can see now, is they've got a lawyer, and the lawyer's basically said to the media that portrayed this wrongly, either you guys submit retractions and, you know, make this thing right, or you're going to have some lawsuits. And, you know, I hope the inaccurate reporters pay for it big time and we straighten it out.
Well, and so as far as I can tell, I mean, this situation is they literally, the liberals just went unleashed on this. And they're like, isn't that a face? Look at this face. Isn't that a face you could just beat into the ground? And I mean, this was beyond the media. They literally fomented this agenda. And then they had all these people pile on Twitter and some of these new media efforts, in my opinion, showing their true colors, Stuart.
Well, yeah, they've gone basically full terrorist. They've gone weather underground. I mean, they're calling for school shootings. One woman posted that this is where the next school shooting should happen. Another one threatened to burn the building down with the kids in it, to lock the doors and set them on fire. I mean, they're behaving like the Taliban or ISIS, you know, threatening to kill kids who are going to school. So I think the left has gone completely crazy. And in a way, it's kind of a gift. They're showing what their real mindset is. And like I said, what's really at the root of this is those kids dared to be standing on the mall for pro-life and dared to wear MAGA hats on their head. That's their crime. And they're, by wearing a MAGA hat, according to the left, you're ipso facto a racist and an oppressor and deserve to die. And that's why the kids are under death threat. And their lawyer's been threatened, too, a bomb threat.
And now what they're saying is, hey, wearing a Make America Great Again hat basically is kind of like being the Grand Wizard of the KKK. They're saying Donald's even the Grand Wizard now, and they're literally going to that extreme.
Yeah, it's a hate crime. Instead of a hate crime, it's a hate crime. It's like 1984. There was thought crime, then there was face crime. If you had the wrong facial expression, you could be hauled in. That's where we're at now at the left. The next step above that, beyond Orwell, he didn't think about this apparently, is the hat. You can't wear a certain hat.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it says Make America Great Again. I mean, you can see why he got troubles with that.
All right. Sheriff, you want to respond to this, though? It's not a hate crime. It's a hat crime now.
I like that.
That's a great. I'm going to add that as a quote to the show notes from good old Stuart Rhodes on that one. But that's what we boiled down to. They've literally created labels. Steve King tried to bring up why these labels have become so toxic, and now they're saying he's just an extreme racist and he ought to step down and all this kind of stuff. They've literally, you're not allowed to think anymore.
No, you're not. And, they'll get so offended at certain things, and yet they promote violence and hate towards these Catholic kids who conducted themselves actually in a very honorable fashion. The left, I mean, the politicians, especially left and right, both, no, I shouldn't say left and right. Republicans and Democrats are all part of the same bird. And it's amazing what they get away with, especially the violence of the left.
Final word's yours, Stuart.
Well, we need to protect them. We've already offered protection to their lawyer. And through him, we've extended an offer to protection to the students and the families. And so that's what we're doing right now.
We got to offer protection to Donald so he feels comfortable broadcasting live from the border, too.
Oh, he has plenty of Border Patrol agents. I'll be right there with him if he does that. And U.S. military, but he should have.
Amen to that. Our prayers are with Donald that he's safe. Our prayers that he listens to his friends. And our prayers are that we can actually secure the border and stop the drug cartels and the sex traffickers, and we can make America great again. I know I just turned a hate crime into a hat crime, but I'm telling you right now, if we could make America great again, it would sure be a blessing. Thanks, Stuart.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
See you soon.
All right, Kurt, what do you say?
God bless America, and let's make America great again.
We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.